Welcome to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sism, where entrepreneurs come together to discuss business growth strategies, marketing ideas, techniques, and tips. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Michelle Sism.
Welcome everyone to the show. Another beautiful Monday. If you're in Texas, it's a beautiful hot Monday. I happen to be traveling today through Texas. I was in Houston this morning speaking at Sandy Lawrence's Marketing Bistro. You guys know Sandy Lawrence. She sometimes sits in and as a host on this show for me whenever I'm unavailable. And so I ran over to Houston this morning and had a wonderful time with her community. She had a really great turnout. If you guys want to get connected to a really great group, be sure you look up Sandy Lawrence's Marketing Bistro in Houston. And so at this point, I'm trying to get back home to do an afternoon of coaching, but super excited that we're doing the show today. Have some wonderful guests for you. You know, before I get started, I always want to remember to do a little housekeeping, and we would love to hear from you. So you can connect with us in a couple of different ways, the first way being through Facebook. You can reach out at facebook.com/decisiveminds or facebook.com/toughtalkradio, and let us know what it is that you want to hear. What business issues are you facing, or what marketing strategy have you used that worked, or marketing strategy that you used that maybe didn't work? And let's have some conversations around that. You can also connect with us in a couple other ways. The first would be to dial in. We would love to speak with you. Our number is 347-989-1363. 347-989-1363. You can dial in, hit the number one, and you will be directed to our producer. And it would be great to hear from you that way. And then also, don't forget that you can always connect with us on iTunes, Take Action Get Profits Radio on iTunes.com to catch up on any shows you might have missed or re-listen to the ones that you heard that had great tips on them. And so I encourage you to get connected and stay connected. Let us know what's going on for you in your life. So I had a great week last week. My Millionaire Minds, my high-level private clients all came into Houston, and we spent 3 days working on their business. It was a great 3 days. What we focused on was the conversation around speaking, just like the radio show, right? We were looking at how speaking works in your business, how it gets you noticed, and really working on all the pieces. And one of the things I did was I gave them a memory stick, a USB stick, and it's very special. It was encrusted with Swarovski crystals and gorgeous little memory stick, but it has one purpose in their life, and that is to have everything on that stick at all times to be prepared to be a speaker. So if you show up somewhere and maybe you're just going to network or you're going to a luncheon or you're going to an event and a speaker doesn't show for some reason, and that happens, why not be prepared? And you could step in as a speaker. That actually did happen one time to me about 2.5 years ago at a luncheon where the speaker was detained and couldn't come in, and they came to me and said, Michelle, could you just get up and speak? And I was like, I can do better than that. I have my PowerPoint. I have everything I need. So I wanted to talk to you today about what you would put on that USB and what you should keep with you at all times. So the first thing would be your description of your talk. So when we look at speaking as a marketing strategy, okay, so I'm not talking about necessarily keynote, and this would work for keynote, but when we're looking at speaking as a marketing strategy, we want to have a great title that catches their attention, obviously. We want to have some bullet points over what we're going to cover, and most of the time, that's what they ask you for as the speaker. But when we are doing a marketing speech where we're going to actually have a call to action at the end, maybe we're selling our books or services, trying to get someone to get on the phone with us, something like that, we want to also have a marketing-based description of that talk. So that would be one of the things that I would put on the memory stick. The second thing that I would put is a PowerPoint. So each of my talks has an individual PowerPoint that is generic. I do create PowerPoints sometimes if I'm going in to do a specialized group. So, you know, I did a talk for a long time called Cash In on Your Expertise with Social Media. And people would call me and they'd say, well, my group's for authors. Could you come talk to us about social media? And I'd say, great. I have a talk called Cash In on Your Social Media Success for Authors, right? I would just change out the wording. And during the talk, I would talk about authors. But it was the same talk. And so, you know, we want to be prepared with a generic PowerPoint that can be used in pretty much any industry. If you're a PowerPoint person, I do have clients that don't work from PowerPoint. They don't like to speak from PowerPoint. So if that's the case, then you won't have that on there. But I personally think that PowerPoint is powerful because people learn in multiple ways. Some people hear well and hear it. Some people need to see it in action, right? So some people want to read it. So I like having a PowerPoint. The next thing that you would have on your memory stick would be your bio and your intro. And I wanted to give you a quick lowdown on what the difference is. So, you know, bio is what you put on your website. It's that about you kind of thing where you're bragging about all the stuff that you've done, which is great. It's exactly what you're supposed to do on your website. And if they're marketing you on their website, they should be putting your bio. But you also, as a speaker, want to have an intro. And the intro is that it's maybe a great story about you or some bullet points that the attention of the audience, but it's not that kind of long, drawn-out bio. And it's written specifically so that they can easily read it. A lot of times when I get bios and I'm introducing a speaker, I've got to go through it and kind of make it sound like it's coming from me, right? Because they'll write it, they'll use the word I or something like that, where that doesn't work as an intro, right? So I write an intro that says, so let me tell you about Michelle Sism and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, it literally says, so let's welcome to the stage, Michelle Sism, right? I want you to write out an intro for someone to actually give whenever you're walking on the stage. The other things that we talked about that would go on that memory stick would be a handout. Now, if you're not a PowerPoint person, a handout with spaces for them to take notes. Maybe you're making three points in your presentation. Right? And so there's a space for point number one, and point number two, and point number three. Maybe you have some fill in the blanks or something like that. A handout is awesome, both with a PowerPoint and without a PowerPoint. If I'm ever in a situation where I can't use a PowerPoint because they just don't have the ability for me to use it, then I like to work from a handout. So I do prepare a generic handout for every talk that I have. And I keep saying every talk. I want to just say real quick, personally, I would recommend that you don't have more than, say, three talks, maybe four. And if you don't have three, don't worry about it. One talk will go a long way when you just kind of change it to fit the audience that you have. Do yourself a favor, though. Don't have 10, 12, 15 talks. It's too much. And it's too hard for someone who's trying to book a speaker to choose from that many talks. So don't do that. And then the last thing that off the top of my head, probably after a while I'll go, oh yeah, I forgot one. But the last thing that I'm going to tell you to put on that memory stick for now is your offer sheet, meaning your order form, your sales form, your how do they connect with you for a strategy session, something like that. So there's some physical that they can put their hands on. They can leave a part of it with you if they're placing an order. They can, you know, take the other part with them. Whatever that looks like, having these things on your memory stick, if at the last second someone says, hey, can you speak, you're prepared. And you can, you know, get somebody to go print some stuff off for you real quick if you need to. You can stick the stick in their laptop and pull up the PowerPoint and give the presentation, you will feel prepared and it'll look smooth to that audience. So there you go. I wanted to just give you that real quick, and we're going to go take a quick break. And when we come back, we're speaking to our first guest. So hold on, guys.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Awesome. And we are back with Adam Dicker. Adam, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Same here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Perfect. Perfect. So what I would like to do, Adam, is first introduce you and tell everyone a little bit about what you've been up to. But then I would really like to get your side of the story, because you, just from what I know have seen about you, I can tell you're a serial entrepreneur. So I always find that intriguing, and would love to hear it from you. So let me start by telling everyone that you are a lifelong entrepreneur who at age 18 received a $100,000 job offer while you were just beginning university. Adam then got online in 1985, right after he got his first Macintosh computer. And in 1989, he ran a large computer company or computer store in Toronto. He did this until 1994 when he started his own internet service provider. After that, So Adam, you're going to finish telling that story because mine, oh, there it went. It's back. I'm having internet issues here, and I had it all on the internet. So, Adam, you've been doing all kind of great stuff. I know you own, or you started a domain company, right?
I did. I started investing in domain names and buying and selling domain names and teaching people how to build businesses from their domain names so they could actually get monthly income coming in so that hopefully one day they could leave their cubicle jobs like I did. In between then, I did start up an ISP service, an internet service provider service, and then I fell in love with domains and the internet. I started speaking at conferences. Eventually, I was hired by GoDaddy to run as their vice president of the aftermarket, which encompassed about 15 different departments. And then from there, I just kept on building and growing, and to the point where I'm at 38,000 domain names, and I'm constantly building new businesses and helping people learn how to build new businesses.
Wow. So I tell people often that I don't drink and I don't smoke, but I collect domain names, but I only have about 500. So I'm impressed.
Well, you and I have a few things in common, because I don't drink and I don't smoke either. And I also seem to collect domain names.
That's right. I think it's a great idea and a huge opportunity. Like, you know, whenever I started to see that same thing, I thought, this is the future, right? And you have made a definite future out of it. So very cool. Well, tell us more about how you got into this.
So I always saw the internet as, and I still see it the same way now, as a pyramid, where at the top of the pyramid, we have people that are in their 60s and 70s that are playing with the internet and they get to like it and things like that. But then we have the middle of the pyramid, which is where I fit in the 40s to 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And then at the bottom, we have all of the kids and all of my kids and all the people that are going to continue to grow and get on the internet. And it's going to continue to grow and grow. And we're going to keep having to add to that bottom of that pyramid as more and more people get on. And it's very important to have the right domain name for your business and make sure that you're buying and selling. We teach you how to buy. Well, I teach you how to buy and sell the proper domain names, because you can't buy things like company names or trademarks or things like that. They have a fine of $100,000 per name, plus any money and revenue you've made with the domain name, plus any perceived revenue the company thinks they've lost by you having the domain name. So you have to know how to learn how to do this properly. And people always ask me, is it too late to get into the domain name space and make some money? And the answer to that is definitely no. One of the things I teach people is you can start up with just $100, buy 10 domain names, and I'll teach you how to sell one of them for at least $2,500, and you'll never get that kind of interest at the bank. So, I mean, it's
still a
great industry for sure, and there's still lots of time for people to get in it and make lots of money.
Yeah, so I have tons of questions just running through my head at this moment. The first one I want to ask you, because I just had this conversation with a client this last week. I have a client that just changed his business name, and so he's looking for his domain. And we were having the conversation of the .com versus anything else. Is that still the must-have, or how do you feel about
that? The .com is still the must-have, although there's been tons of new, what they call new GTLDs that have come out. So you have like .expert, .guru, .business, .club. I mean, there's all kinds of different ones, but unfortunately, the general population isn't really familiar with them right now. It will be in about 3 to 5 years, but it's going to take that long before it starts to sink in. But definitely .com is the main one to have, always will be. .com is king, and then after that there's some little princes and princesses. It's not bad to get one of the other names as long as you're going to build your business on it. They're not great names to buy and sell right now because people aren't aware of them, but for building your own business, it's not a bad decision if you're actually going to build a viable business on it. But I would still try to get the .com first, or both.
Okay, great. And do you think that people should buy, like you said, both or multiples of their name?
It doesn't hurt. I mean, there's some tips to when you're buying a domain name. You want to keep it easy to type, so you don't want things with misspellings or missing a letter here and there, like the word express. You don't want to use X-P-R-E-S-S because people are going to go to express. You don't want things with double letters in the middle. You want to keep it short. You want to use keywords that describe your business when you can, because it gives you extra SEO value. If you're doing a local business, like, I don't know, Chicago Car Repair, you want to have chicagocarrepair.com because there's nothing better for your business that describes what you want to do. Again, you want to avoid numbers and hyphens in your domain names. And you want to make sure you pass the radio test. Since we're on the radio right now, you want to make sure it's an easy name for people to understand and spell just from on the radio. And then be memorable, of course. If you can be memorable and come up with something that people are going to remember, it's going to be great. But definitely you want to make sure that it passes the radio test, because sometimes you don't have a business card and you tell somebody what your website is and you don't want to leave them that opportunity to misspell it.
Absolutely. And especially in the English language, when there's so many possibilities to so many words these days. So
definitely,
when we look at buying and selling domains, what is, what is some of the advice you give maybe to the beginners?
So the first thing, I mean, there's a bunch of things you want to do. It all starts with buying the right domain names. If you don't buy the right domain names, you're not going to sell anything. I've had people come to me and ask for help after they spent as much as $800,000 buying domain names, and then I have to tell them the domains they bought aren't worth $5,000. It's not an easy conversation to have, but you want to have that before you spend the money and go out and spend ridiculous amounts of money. So I definitely think you should start with a small amount. $100 gets you 10 domains. And then what you want to do is you want to target domains that a business could build on. So don't buy a domain name just because you think it's cool or it's a good name. It doesn't matter what you think. You want a business, a name that a business could think about building a business on. If you can't think of why a business would want a specific domain name, don't buy it. Whereas something like the Chicago Car Repair, Chicago Glass Repair, you know why they're buying that name. You know that it's a possibility. It doesn't matter if it's three words, because if I buy chairs.com, I don't know if I'm selling pool chairs, executive chairs, office chairs. I don't know what I'm selling. Lawn chairs.
Right.
If I have lawnchairs.com, then people know more what I'm selling. And if I go to something like black executive chairs or white executive chairs, it's more targeted, and the visitors you're going to get and the product you're going to sell is exactly what you want. So you want to stick to products and services, because that's what businesses would want. And there's tons of services. So if you're not sure what services, check angieslist.com. They've got thousands of services on there. Locksmiths, could be anything, driveway repair, anything around the house, because most people have a place they live. Closets, custom closets, anything to do with around the house is a popular domain name and would have interest. And you can even make it local, because people aren't going to go from Philadelphia to Los Angeles to get a custom closet.
Right, right,
so,
exactly. Very cool. So let's, thinking about that same client of mine, the name that he named his business, he found the domain, and the domain's for sale for $2,500. So what does he need to know about that? Is there room to negotiate? What's the process? Is the buyer, and then we'll come back and talk about being the seller.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing that people don't realize is just because I have a bunch of really good domain names, it's the buyer that actually sets the price. The buyer is going to dictate whether that's a $5,000 or $100,000 domain name. And I've sold lots of names for six figures, seven figures, and even one for eight figures, but it's the buyer that dictates the price. So if the market value for that domain name is what your friend is willing to pay for it, a $2,500 domain name, there should be room to move on that one. So he can probably get it for anywhere between $1,200 to $1,500.
Okay,
he's just going to have to negotiate, and there is room to negotiate. And
okay,
I probably know who has it, so if you want, I can talk to you after the show and help him get it.
Okay, great. Great. So now let's flip it, and let's think about it's your client, and they've got the domain, and they want to sell it. What do they need to be looking at?
So as a seller, there's lots of things that you can look at. So, for example, you can look at, let's take one of our examples. Let's go with Chicago, I think, was auto repair. So let's look at people in Google. They're already paying for those keywords, and they could be paying as much as $6 to $7 a click for those things. Well, we can get this domain to them, build them a site, set it up for lead generation if they already have their own domain name, or if they don't, we can build them a website on it, get it ranked, and they no longer have to spend that few $1,000 or $500 a month they're spending on clicks, and they can buy the domain, own it, get it listed in the top 10 on Google for maybe $1,500 to $2,500 a month. The value when you're selling it is not to tech them out and say how many visitors it gets and how much traffic it gets and how great the name is. All a business wants to know is how many clients can it get me per month or per day? And that's how you have to explain to them. And a lot of times I do what's called lead generation, which means they don't want to buy the domain name. That's fine. So then I'll work out a deal with them where they'll pay me 15 to 20% for every client that I send them, but only the clients that they close. Then I get to still keep the asset. And if they decide after 6 months they don't want to do it anymore, I'll find somebody else in Chicago that does.
Oh, that's smart. Wow, I hadn't thought about it from that angle.
Abundance of people. There's tons of people that I can call and say, look, if I send you clients and you only pay me for the clients that close, are you interested? Everyone's going to say yes.
Yeah.
Everyone wants new clients. That doesn't cost them anything. Dennis will pay $125 to $150 per new client because – they get you, they may get your husband if you like them, they may get your kids, they may get other people, and they get you for life. So there's certain industries that will pay a lot of money for clients like that, and lead generation is great because you always own the asset.
Yeah, I love that. Very cool. So obviously you have a lot of clients that are doing this, and what are we looking at as far as time commitment for this type of business?
So time commitment, it's something that can definitely be done part-time. It's something that I did while I had a really good job until the income started to get bigger than what I was making at the job, and then I decided to leave and go into it full-time. But it's probably, part-time you can get away with an hour or under an hour a day. But if you really want to get into it, you need to spend some of your free time. You have to be passionate, driven, and willing to work really hard to be successful in this industry. It's not all about listening and hearing about those sales for $100,000 or $1 million here and there. You don't need to do that. You can sell 10 domains that you paid $100 for, sell them for $2,500 each or $1,500 each, and you've turned that $100 into $15,000. And then you can just rinse and repeat and keep going. You don't need to make
right,
it all
exactly.
at once. If I That's told every
exactly.
one of your listeners they could make an extra $10,000 a month, I think they'd be thrilled with just that. Even $5,000 a month, and they'd be happy.
I agree. Wow, that is very, very cool. I like that it can be something kind of localized, right? And they can look at these industries and still it's still generic, but it's got that local feel of putting your hometown name on it. Pretty much, you can almost guarantee. I mean, I don't know how big the industry is of actual buyers and sellers, meaning this is what they do for a living. I would say most of this country, you can still kind of corner the market in smaller towns, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I run a forum. It's called dnforum.com. It's dnforum.com. There's over 500,000 people all over the world buying
wow.
and selling and trading domain names. And any time of the day you can look, and there's over 1,000 people on, even at 2, 3 in the morning. Anytime.
Wow.
But the other thing that you can look at is every one of your listeners has friends that are either in a business or run businesses. So even if they just set up something and bring in new customers for the people they already know on Facebook or wherever, they're going to make a lot of money. And that's without even having to sell a domain name. That's just bringing in leads to businesses.
Cool. So you work with clients to teach them how to do this through a program? What do you have?
Yeah, it's $29 a month. It's very cheap. And on adamdicker.com, you can sign up for it free. You get the first few videos free, and then after that, you have me available for coaching in groups and a whole bunch of other things that you get a hold of. So you can sign up
right.
for free on adamdicker.com, and they'll really enjoy it. It's a great industry if you're passionate and you love making money and you want to be your own boss. It's a great industry, but I put myself in my office from 8:30 in the morning till dinner time every night, and then I may have to come back after dinner with my family, and I may have to do some more meetings because I'm dealing with people in all kinds of different time zones. But
right.
it's a great business.
It sounds like it. Okay. Interesting. I'm so glad you were on today, Adam. This has been a great conversation.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. And so, guys, be sure you check out adamdicker.com, and you'll see exactly what Adam was talking about. And I'm assuming they could connect with you through social media?
Yeah, I give out all my contact information. People are always surprised. But my Skype is adam.dicker. My cell number, which I give out and most people don't, is 416-884-0535. And I actually get people surprised when I answer it, so don't be surprised. And then my email is adam@dcg.com, and I'm more than happy to help people get started. I love to pay it forward, and I love this industry that's been so good to me. So let's help get you independent from that cubicle. Or it's great for stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads. It's great for anybody.
Yeah, you know, most of my audience are small business owners and entrepreneurs, and many of them are looking for those secondary incomes, right? Just to add another revenue stream into their business. I think this is brilliant. The majority of them are online, you know, marketing their businesses through online aspects already. So it is just another level for them. So,
and I can teach them how to do that better as well, so they can get their business on page one within a week. But yeah, anytime you can add extra revenue to your existing job or your existing salary, it's win-win for everybody.
I'm glad you said that, Adam, but we do have about 2 more minutes, and I just wanted to say that I meant to point that out a while ago that you mentioned that the whole idea of it not just being about the website, but maybe providing a website for someone or getting the traffic going or whatever that looks like. So I was going to ask you if you taught that as well. So thank you for answering.
I do. I teach all that. I even teach you how to get videos that you do moved up on page one, basically how to knock off any competitors and how to find out what keywords your competitors are advertising and get better placement than they do.
Very good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Adam. We'll have to have you back. This is a very intriguing conversation.
I'm willing to come back anytime. And again, thank you for having me. It was an honor to be here.
All right. All right, guys, hold on. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be back with our second guest of the show.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location. Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
And we are back with our second guest of the show, Naresh, right? Did I say that wrong three times before I got it right? Hopefully I got it right. Are you there?
Yep, I'm up here. It's Naresh Vissa.
Naresh Vissa, thank you very much. So welcome to the show after I kind of did that to your name. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's all so right.
I have one of those names too. People are all, I hear it all kind of ways. So, but I'm so excited that you're here. We're going to talk about marketing. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to read your official bio and then just kind of get the story from you on how you got into this arena. How about that?
Sure, that sounds good.
All right, perfect. So Naresh is a media, marketing, and publishing entrepreneur and product launch and marketing specialist. He's worked with leading publishers, corporations, and media firms to improve their bottom lines through marketing. He's also the author of the number one bestseller, Podcastnomics, The Book of Podcasting to Make You Millions. And I am so intrigued by that. First of all, I love the word, and I love podcasting. So I was excited to see that you were going to be on the show.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yes. So tell us, how did you, what's kind of the history? How did you get to this point where you're doing this?
So I got started actually in the media space before I knew anything about online marketing or digital marketing. So I started out as a reporter in the radio space. So this was the internet was around, but it wasn't as ubiquitous as it is today. So this was pre-financial crisis when terrestrial radio was still becoming or was still a very big player in content consummation. I have experience as a broadcaster, TV, radio, and print, and that's as a reporter, and then on the behind-the-scenes type of roles as a producer, editor, and doing some business things behind the scenes. Now, I got involved with online marketing and entrepreneurship post-financial crisis. I kind of developed a skill set for media, and I was contacted by an online marketing and publishing firm who wanted me to start their new media division. And so it was while I was working full time that I learned all about online marketing and digital marketing and digital media and publishing. That's how I got my start in the space. And since then, I've started a couple of businesses. Right now, I have two active businesses, and one is a small business, and the other is a startup in the publishing space. And I'm working on, or actually later this year, I'm publishing a book that is all about online and digital marketing.
Oh, are you? Very cool. Do you have a name on that yet?
Yeah, so the book is called 50 Shades of Marketing in the 21st Century.
I love it. That's a good play.
Yeah. So it's coming out in the back half of, well, actually the last quarter of this year. So it's going to be in October when it releases. So if your listeners are interested in all on about that book, they can subscribe to my free mailing list at nareshvissa.com, and I'll be sending some emails letting them know when that book is going to come out.
Great. And I wanted to spell that for them just so that we make sure that everybody's got it. It's, and if I get this wrong, correct me, it's nareshvissa.com. So you guys be sure and check out his site. So this is your second book or third book?
So this is going to be my second main business book. So
okay, great.
My first one was Podcastnomics, which is a primer on podcasting. That came out last year, and this is going to be my second business book, 50 Shades of Marketing in the 21st Century, which is essentially a primer on marketing in the 21st century in a digital age.
Yeah, very cool. So why don't we talk a little bit about podcasting and what that's been looking like, what that's done for the small business industry, you know, the whole industry as a whole, I think, has been drastically affected by podcasting and online marketing. So what's your big take on that?
Yeah, so now in the 21st century, really this decade, the old school way of doing things is still applicable, but if you're not adapting to the new way of doing things, you're leaving money on the table. And with podcasting, what it allows people to do is it allows people to be on an established platform like iTunes or like TuneIn or Stitcher or Blog Talk Radio, or there are these huge platform services that reach billions of people in the aggregate, billions of people. And so by podcasting, what you're doing is becoming an authority figure on a specific topic or niche and disseminating your expertise, your knowledge on these platforms to reach really, but with the potential to reach billions of people. And to put that into even more context, just think about how many people in the world now use an iOS device. So that's an iPhone, an iPad, an iPod, a Mac computer, tablet. There are now more than a billion people who use an Apple device. And every single one of those devices, assuming that they have a relatively recent version of the iOS update, so if they've updated it within the last 2 years, every single one of those devices comes with a podcast app, an app that says podcasts. And so that presents a tremendous opportunity, because when you podcast and you're up on iTunes, for example, all those people with iOS devices now can find you pretty easily. And so I found working on with clients that just having that being in front of that Apple operating system has opened so many doors, brought in a tremendous amount of new and highly qualified leads, make podcasting a worthwhile venture.
Wow.
And at the end of it all, the goal is to make money. And like I said, you're bringing in new and qualified leads to bring in money. The key is, you have to be podcasting in a niche that is untapped. So the more specific your niche, the more you are a part of that long tail, as Chris Anderson, the known author and editor wrote in his book, The Long Tail, you want a very focused niche. You can't be podcasting about general stuff, because that's what radio and TV is for. It's for general news, general analysis. But if you're podcasting about your favorite sports team, or you're podcasting about lead generation, that's a very, very targeted, narrow, and niche market that will be able to find you.
Very cool. So, you know, I was working with some of my clients last week, and we were actually talking about podcasts. Several of them have podcasts. But it was actually interesting that a couple of them were still confused on what podcasting really was. So let's talk for a moment about what a podcast is.
Sure. So a podcast, to lay it in easy terms, in layman's terms, a podcast is simply an audio file that can be downloaded from the internet or from your mobile device. That's all a podcast is. So before the internet, for example, if you wanted to listen to audio, you had to turn on your AM, FM dial radio and listen to whatever was coming on. Now the podcast, it has nothing to do with Apple's iPod. Apple did not invent the name. They just happened to concurrently, that the term podcast happened to be coined around the same time that the iPod came out. So, like I mentioned, the podcast is just an audio file that can be downloaded. It can be a file, it can be audio of someone singing a song. It could be a file of someone talking just to themselves, or it can be a fully produced radio show that was on terrestrial radio, but is now available as an MP3 file online, available to download. So that's all a podcast is.
Are the majority of podcasts still free?
Yes. So iTunes and all these other SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player.fm, Podbay, Podbean, all these are provide content free of charge. So as a podcaster, you might be wondering, okay, well, if they're free, how am I going to make money? Well, there are three main revenue drivers for podcasts. The first revenue driver is the old school advertising. So it's something that I don't necessarily recommend, because getting advertisers can be very difficult given today's very advanced tracking systems in advertising. The second revenue driver is selling an existing product or service. So that means if you're an accountant, for example, and you come out with a podcast about offshore accounting strategies, well, the goal of that show would be to build up your listenership so that you can cross promote your actual accounting business to your listeners. So in that case, the podcast is seen as an ultimate lead generating tool. The third way you can monetize a podcast is through premium content. So you can have your free stuff, but then you can add a paywall and charge people a monthly subscription to get access to paid premium content. So this can be special content that you come out with, let's say once a week or once a month. It can be special interviews with people, special strategies and kind of seminars or sessions that go over a specific topic that will help people make money. Or basically, you want to make sure that your premium content is content that's taken to the next level to make it worthy.
Very good. Like, do you see most people who do that, are they driving people to some form of a membership so they have ongoing access, or is it purchasing maybe one-off training scenarios?
So I have found people to sometimes bundle their premium content. So first, they'll come out with their premium content as a monthly subscription or a yearly subscription. So it could be something like $100 a year for a yearly subscription, and they get something every month. And then I've also seen people take a lot of that content, bundle it into a training course, and sell sell that training course. Again, just a much shorter, distilled down version, sell that training course for, you know, a certain price.
Very good. So if someone were new to podcasting, what is it that they, what do you think is the most important thing for them to be paying attention to? I know you touched on being very niche. Is there something else they need to focus on?
Yeah, so a couple of things. If you're going to podcast, you have to do it correctly. You can't just wake up one day and say, oh, I heard this podcasting is a great strategy. Let me get started today. You need to have a set plan of how you're going to execute your podcast from beginning to end. So beginning stages include the equipment. So my book, Podcastnomics, which is available on Amazon, Podcastnomics, it goes through all the equipment you need to get started. If assuming that you don't already have some of the, that you don't have any of the equipment, it only costs about $250 to $300 to get up and running, and equipment and software costs. So you definitely want to have the necessary equipment to produce the highest quality podcast you can. And then the other thing you want to keep in mind is monetization, because a lot of podcasters just kind of start podcasting without an end goal. And I already laid out three primary revenue drivers when it comes to podcasting. And so you want to take all three into consideration, particularly the lead generating tool. So selling a product or a service through the podcast, that's probably the most important revenue driver, and you want to start implementing that into your podcast strategy.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's really great information. So awesome. Do you have, I know you said that there were a billion users, you know, with the Apple products. Do we have any statistics on what's going on with podcasting? How many people are actually listening? I would assume, my assumption is it's growing like crazy, but you're the expert. You tell me.
Yeah, so a couple of qualitative, I guess, anecdotes, examples, and then one minor statistic. So podcasting is growing tremendously. There are now more than 100,000 different podcasts on iTunes, and that's just on iTunes. And when I say podcasts, I don't mean individual episodes. I mean actual shows. So there are now more than 100,000. That number is multiplying by leaps and bounds as we speak. In fact, that number is probably outdated by the time I'm speaking to you right now. So that's one number. The other number is that more than a billion episodes have been downloaded or listened to on iTunes. So that might sound like very little. That actually might sound like very little, but considering that this is still a new way of content consummation, and venture capitalists, investors in Hollywood, they're not behind this yet. Even Wall Street is not behind this yet. A billion downloads and listens is still a pretty remarkable number just on iTunes. So keep in mind, a podcast can be downloaded on TuneIn, Stitcher, all those other distributors that I mentioned before. They can be downloaded on a website, on any company website that hosts a podcast. So I'm talking about just purely iTunes. Now, last year, really the inflection point for podcasting, because of two main events. The first event was the new iOS device that came out, which hard-coded the podcast app on every iOS device. So that came out last October. And then the second inflection point came with the start of a show called Serial, which went viral and it became the first mainstream podcast to hit the world, really, not just the United States, but to hit the world. So Serial, Serial, it was essentially a news magazine it was an investigative news podcast series about guy in Baltimore who killed his girlfriend in high school and was thrown off cars, and it went into the details around that murder case and was trying to make the case, was trying to present the sides, but was trying to make the case that the guy actually did not kill his girlfriend, that someone else could have done it. So ended up going viral, and it was the first podcast to cross 10 million downloads and listens on iTunes ever. And it crossed that mark within three months of coming out. So those are all some examples of the tremendous growth that podcasting is seeing. And with Serial and another podcast which followed Serial called Startup, both of those went mainstream and are now getting funding in the form of not just donations, but also through venture capital companies and angel investors. So we could now start seeing just like we watch TV on, you know, we watch HBO or CBS, we watch our favorite shows on TV.
Right.
It's only a matter of time until we start seeing or listening to our favorite shows in podcast format.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, thank you so much. I wanted to just give you a second here to kind of share with everybody how to connect with you. We can give them your website address again.
The book that came out last year, all about podcasting, it's called Podcastnomics. That's available on Amazon, and it's a primer on podcasting. You can subscribe free to my mailing list, which will tell you about the next book that's coming out, 50 Shades of Marketing in the 21st Century. The website to get on that mailing list is podcastnomics.com. So through the Podcastnomics book website, you can get not only the Podcastnomics book, but you can also subscribe to the mailing list, which once you do that, I'll let you know about my next book that's coming out later this year, which is a primer on marketing in the 21st century.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here. I am in total agreement. I think podcasting is what is headed our way big time, even bigger than it already is. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Michelle.
All right. You're so welcome. Okay, guys, we're going to take a short break, and I'll see you on the other side.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. Gambone.com.
Working hard but not making money? Are you ready to finally start being paid what you are worth? Learn how business strategy coach Michelle Sism and her clients are creating 6+ figure businesses. Check out Michelle Sism's free video series where she reveals her step-by-step strategy for creating consistent cash flow in your business. You can learn more at highlypaidauthority.com.
Wonderful, and we are back. I wanted to remind you for both of our guests, Adam Dicker first. You can find out more about Adam at adamdicker.com. That's A-D-A-M-D-I-C-K-E-R. And Adam was here talking about, he's in the business of buying and selling domains, and he teaches people how to do that. It was a very interesting conversation. If you didn't get to hear it, you definitely need to go back and listen to that again. Had all kind of great advice. And then with Narish, we were just talking about podcasting and his book, Podcastnomics, and his upcoming book, 50 Shades of Marketing in the 21st Century. So be sure that you check out his site as well. It's NarishVissa.com. And we started, you know, the whole conversation has been on marketing and what is it online that you are doing for your business. We started out today when I was talking about being prepared as a speaker And there's a lot that goes into speaking and a lot of online marketing that, through webinars, teleseminars, speaking shows up in multiple places, not just in person, but online as well. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to the opening of the show to get prepared for that. And I also wanted to talk to you real quick about my three-day event that's coming up in Houston, September 10th through 12th. I would love to invite you to join us. You can find out more at legacyliveevent.com. It's legacyliveevent.com. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I am committed to helping entrepreneurs create a legacy, not just make a living, right? Not just money for today, but money for the future. And taking our businesses and creating the lifestyle, a lot of people call those lifestyle businesses, right? But creating the lifestyle that we want, and whether that means that we love what we're doing and we're in the office all day, or we choose to do what we do from Costa Rica like I did a couple of months ago, or whatever that looks like for you, right? Bringing in someone else to run the business. It's extremely important that you start to work on the plan, the process, to get that in place. It will amaze you how fast time passes and things show up, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, why didn't I do that before? So I want to help you prepare for that. I do have a plan that I take my clients through to create legacy businesses and just be able to create that sustainable, scalable, and if you want, sellable business. I've built multiple businesses in my life and sold several of them, and there are just certain things that we have to get in place. We have to look at systems. We have to look at processes. We have to look at people. We have to look at products, and all of that has to be built in a way that is leverageable, scalable, and prepared to be something bigger than we are. What I do know about you, I know about my audience, is that you really want to make a change in the world. And what you are doing is, you're doing that. It may have started out that you just wanted to make the change that your family was comfortable and had enough money to eat and survive on, right? But as we get into business and as it starts to grow, we start to see that there's a bigger vision. And it's important for you to be planning along the way. I will tell you that you don't start a business and it's a legacy business instantly. That is not the norm unless you have a whole bunch of money to dump into it. So for most of us, building a legacy business is a 7 to 10 year process. And depending on where you are and how long you're wanting to be working, we might need to get started on that right away. So I would love to have you join me September 10th, 11th, and 12th, Houston, Texas. Again, that's legacyliveevent.com. And then here on the show, we're here every Monday, 2 p.m. Central Time. And if you would like to be a guest on the show, if you would like to get copies of previous shows, listen to this show again. It has been a fantastic show. Then you can look us up on takeactiongetprofitsradio.com and stay connected. We would like to know what it is that you are looking for in your business, what you need help with, what we can do, what types of speakers would you like, what type of information do you want covered. I hope you enjoyed today. It was some really great stuff, a couple of things I hadn't thought about, and the whole idea, I do buy a lot of domains. I own a lot of domains, but I hadn't really thought about the local mainstream audience and their need for domains. I've sold a couple of domains. I've not made near as much money as he has selling them, but I think that that's a great way to make money. And then definitely podcasting. We turn this show into a podcast. I think podcasting is huge. So guys, I want you to go out, have a fantastic week. Today's just the first day of the week, and you've got a full week to get some amazing things done. And I look forward to talking to you again next Monday. Talk to you soon. It's Michelle Sism saying be decisive. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sism, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.